Pokemons. Who knows about Pokemon cards? There's some hands that just went up, and I know Pat Hans has a ringer in her family. George and Fred have gotten obsessed with Pokemons, and you have the binders, and you carry them around. And who doesn't understand Pokemons? Yeah, look. I have no idea how many portals there are and how many people, and you can be a mega EX and a small GX, and you can be a large card, and you can do 100 damage versus 80 damage, but you can have a water trainer. I'm probably not even making sense to those that actually know Pokemons or to anybody else. In other words, it's so complicated. It's an incredible universe of people and characters that are all interrelated in one way or the other. It reminds us very much of just the Bible, doesn't it? Like, the Bible is full of all these different characters that are all interrelated with each other, and we try to make sense of it. And what we're really trying to do, whether it's Pokemon or the Bible, is to figure out sort of where do we fit in? What's sort of our membership? What's our criterion for being a part of either the world of Pokemon or the world of Holy Scriptures? In other words, how is our relationship with God defined? How does God relate, in other words, to us? And these are questions that we all wrestle with and seek these answers to. What is the criteria? And criteria is simply defined as the principle or a standard by which something may be judged or decided. In other words, it's sort of the way that we're sized up. And why is it so important? Because we all want to belong. Like, we want to have our binders full of Pokemons or our Bibles full of where we know how we're connected with God. We want to be members, in other words. And this isn't true in just Pokemon or the Bible. It's true in anything in life, right? Like, whether you're a member of your church, whether you're a member of a civic organization or a legacy organization or a country club, it doesn't matter. Everybody wants to belong somewhere. It's a universal need and desire, and it helps to sort of understand how we fit. What is our sort of standing in the world? Now, the question of criteria and where they stand and how to sort through this life is precisely what's on the minds of the apostles in the reading from Acts that Dan read for us. These were the apostles and the new Christians, the text tells us, meaning people that had just converted to Christianity, just become followers of this man that was crucified but then raised from the dead. And it's what they're trying to get at with Peter today in this conversation with him is how do we make sense of our life now with God? How do we make sense of the strange new world of the Bible, to quote Karl Barth? The apostles and the early believers were converts, just for a little context, right? They're not like us. They don't have 2,000 years of church history that they can sort of tap into, or Karl Barth or Martin Luther or anybody else. They were one generation, or they were a direct generation with Jesus, meaning they touched him and saw him. And so now they're trying to figure out their life because Jesus has ascended. He's gone to sit on his Father's right hand in heaven. And so what they're really trying to figure out is who's clean and who's not. Who's got the right criteria, in other words, for membership in God's club, in God's world? Who's got the right membership? And it comes down to the circumcised versus the uncircumcised. And if you notice from the text, you have Peter had eaten with the uncircumcised. So a little bit of your sort of Old Testament history, the circumcised of the followers of the law, the Jews, those that are following all that have been laid out by God. The uncircumcised are those outside of God's kingdom, the Gentiles. Okay, but many Gentiles are now becoming Christians. So how do you sort through those that have been circumcised with the uncircumcised? So Peter responds by telling the story of this dream, this vision he had. Hear this again. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners. and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw a four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But I replied, "By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But a second time the voice answered from heaven, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." So let's pretend like Peter's sitting on our little therapist couch here, and we're going to dissect his dream for a couple of minutes. The four corners, the sheet that has four corners, represents the world. It's north, south, east, and west. It represents totality of the universe, as Revelation says, a new heaven and a new earth. So you have the world sort of coming down in front of Peter's eyes, and you see the four-footed animals. Now, if we look at Leviticus, the ancient Jewish laws, you would see every four-footed animal that goes on its paws is unclean for you. It's an unclean animal. The Old Testament law says if you touch its carcass, if you touch this animal, you are unclean until the evening. And if you pick up its carcass, you must immediately wash all your clothes, and you are still unclean until the next evening. You got 2 days of sort of probation for being unclean. In other words, these four-footed animals are unclean for someone like Peter, who's lived a very righteous life. So Peter must have thought then it was another test from God. Right? Because we hear all the time about how Peter's getting tested. So you can see Peter's sort of smugness, like, he's really trying to test me. I'm not going to touch these four-footed animals. I know the law, and I'm not going to touch it because I'm an Old Testament rule follower. And then God comes up with this unbelievable statement. You don't notice that it's God at first, but then Peter says, calls him Lord. And what does God say? God says the new paradigm for you and me. What God has made clean, you must not call profane. What God has made clean, you must not call profane. In other words, whereas the Old Testament law was the mediator and arbiter between humanity and God, between what is good and evil, and God, adherence to the law was the membership. In this new paradigm, God is saying, I've made the world clean. I've cleaned the whole world through the blood of Jesus on the cross. Now, why did he do that? Well, here's where it gets simple, much less complicated than Pokemon. He did it because he loves us. God did it because he loves us and because we are his. All things, in other words, were made new under Jesus' death and resurrection. And there is no more criteria for membership. It is simply just acceptance and reception. Receiving what's been done for you. So if you look at the rest of the Acts passage, it goes on to talk about baptism. How we're baptized by the Holy Spirit and accepted into this new life with God. And baptism is the moment that we mark outwardly and visibly what God has done internally for us through Jesus Christ. It's when we accept grace, or as parents and godparents will do in just a few minutes on behalf of Clara, they accept the grace for her. And then we mark her. We mark the candidate as God's own, marked clean through Jesus' death and resurrection, marked as a beloved child of God. So baptism reminds us of God's work in our lives, because as we remember the words of a former rector of St. Mark's, Jacques Bossier, I probably butchered his name, but he preached a sermon on baptism in the mid-80s, and he talked about how baptism is the birthday for a child, a birthday in the church. And it's a birthday because it's a day that we remember another birthday, that of Christmas, when we remember the day that Jesus was born, that set this whole entire project up on its head. that started this whole new paradigm. Bossier said, Christmas, which is the first page of the story of God's revelation on earth, is a birthday. And it's the greatest of all birthdays. Who would have predicted that God Almighty, the majestic and frightening Jehovah of the Old Testament, the law wielder, the one who appeared to Abraham in the bush and to Moses on top of the Mount Sinai, surrounded with lightning and thunder, was the same God who laid in a manger? Bossier finished the sermon by saying, oh, mystery and depth of the love of God. And it's what we celebrate today in just a few minutes when we welcome Johanna Clara Preston into the household of God. And like so many other Prestons, I looked at Channing's date. It was from 1979. On that font, they have been marked as Christ's own forever. A mark that tells us that the love between God and his people is indissoluble. It's unbreakable. You can't do anything about it. You can try, but God has you in the clutches of his hands, and you better try to get out because you can't. So theology in church can be sort of a heady enterprise, right? We could spend time in the clouds looking at portals like Pokemon or looking at different scripture through academic rigor and philosophy and study. And none was better than Karl Barth at this enterprise in the 20th century. Barth wrote in his Church Dogmatics over 9,000 pages of theology. Think about that, 9,000 pages just going through different theological arguments. But yet towards the end of his Dogmatics, he decided to spend 12 pages on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then on his lecture tour in 1962, Barth was at Rockefeller Chapel in the campus of the University of Chicago. And after a long, hour-long lecture on his dogmatics, a student raised their hand and said, if you could summarize your life's work in one sentence, what would it be? Now, he's asking a guy that just wrote 9,000 pages to give one sentence. The Swiss-German theologian, without even missing a beat, simply said, yes, I can. In the words of a song I learned at my mother's knee, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen.
Can I get the kids to come around the bathtub with me? We got some friends in the nursery that are going to come too. Where's the bathtub? The bathtub? No, why do we call it a bathtub? You think it's too tiny? Could Clara fit in the bathtub? If you could just squish him down a little bit. What do we do in the bathtub? Why do we take a bath? Who makes you take a bath? You're on the showers. We're shower sort of a bath, right? Because there's water in both.
We'll take a few baths.
You're sitting in the dirty. So you take a bath to get what, Mary Stone? Clean. And why do we need to get clean? Y'all never smell bad, do you? Nathan does? No, he doesn't. Everybody's got their Sunday best on today. You should see me after I take my robes off. When I get going, I start sweating. We don't need that much information, do we? So, TMI. So we take a bath to get clean. Who likes to jump in mud puddles? What's your favorite place to get dirty?
Outside,
what do you like to do to get dirty?
Slide
anything
possible.
Eating, slide the grass, jump in mud puddles, what else?
Roll on the grass.
Roll down the hills. How about like
Explore
like in the woods with your hands and get worms and bugs all over them?
Climb
trees.
Oh, even better if
it's warm, that's
really sticky.
Yeah, then you get all sticky. And then after you take a bath, what happens?
You're clean.
You're clean.
And you can go outside and get more.
And then what do you do after that?
You get more dirty.
You get more dirty. Well, this is a special bathtub. You know what this bathtub does?
What?
This bathtub cleans you one time forever. So you can try to get dirty as many times as you want. You can play in the mud. You can play rolling down a hill in the trees with the sap. But after you had a bath here, you'll remember that you are already clean in the eyes of God forever. It's a magic bath. What do you think about that? You never have to take a bath again.
I don't think I fit in that.
You can just do your feet at a time. You can do like different body parts. But that's the special moment that we're going to mark today. Just a couple minutes with Clara. We're going to give her a bath, and we're going to mark what God has already done for all of us, which God has already said, you are all clean because you are my beloved children. So let's say a little prayer, okay? Gracious God, thank you for the gift of children. Thank you for the children that are here and for about what is going to happen in just a few minutes for Clara. We just give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, a couple of you guys, go back and sit with your moms and dads, and we're going to continue with our service, and the candidate for holy baptism will now be presented. For seeing that the child you present is brought up in the Christian faith and life,
I will with God's help.
Will you, by your prayers and witness, help this child to grow into the full stature of Christ?
I will with God's help.
Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God?
I renounce them.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior?
I do.
Do you put your whole trust in his grace and truth?
I do.
Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord?
I do.
Now, will the congregation here present please stand and look at the bottom of page 303. Will you, who witness these vows, do all in your power to support this person in her life in Christ?
We will.
Let us join with Clara, who is committing herself to Christ, and renew our own baptismal covenant that begins at the top 304. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again and judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent
and return to the Lord.
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help.
Let us now pray for Clara, who is to receive the sacrament of new birth.
Please respond to each petition with Lord, hear our prayer. Deliver them, O Lord, from the way of sin and death.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Open their hearts to your grace and truth.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Fill them with your holy and life-giving spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Keep them in the faith and communion of your holy church.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Teach them to love others in the power of the Spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Send them into the world in witness to your love.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Bring them to the fullness of your peace and glory.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Grant, O Lord, that all who are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, may live in the power of his resurrection and look for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns now and forever.
Amen.
The congregation may be seated for the baptism. Beginning on page 306. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt, into the land of promise. In it your Son, Jesus, received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death. By it, we share in his resurrection. Through it, we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we bring into his fellowship those who come to him in faith, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now sanctify this water, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those who hear are cleansed from sin and born again may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And have raised her to the new life of grace. Sustain her, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give her an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works.
Amen. Amen.
Now, please stand as we welcome the newly baptized, as we say together on page 308, we receive you into the household of God.
Confess the faith of Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, and share with us in his eternal priesthood.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
It's time.
God's peace be with each one of you. Please be seated. Please be seated. What a happy day for us here. And we tried to, Gina and I this past week, tried to figure out how many different Preston and Preston relatives have been baptized in that font. And let's just say there's a lot. We couldn't quite figure out how many, but there is a lot of different pages from a lot of different books. So it's a real joy to have Clara baptized this morning, even though she was clearly getting mad at me. She was like, could you unscrew that oil any slower? I'm sorry, Clara, but you are sealed and marked, and praise the Lord. Today, we have our Appalachian Vesper service. George Honeycutt is playing along with David Austin and Leslie Dunbar at 4 o'clock in Emmanuel Chapel. And if you haven't heard the three of them play together, I commend it to you. They are incredible. And I've seen the song list, and it's just going to be a wonderful evening. So do join us if you're able. And then this week, our Book of Common Prayer class continues on Tuesday in the Ministry Center. And then next Saturday, just a special note that our seminarian from last year will be ordained to the diaconate in Georgia. So say a prayer for Bradley next Saturday as he steps into this new role, and what an accomplishment it is for him, and what a privilege it was for us to be a part of that process. Again, it's so wonderful to see you all here. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself an offering and sacrifice to God.
361. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because in Jesus Christ our Lord, you have received us as your sons and daughters, made us citizens in your kingdom, and given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament, serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be
thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Hallelujah. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah.
The gifts of God for you all, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you. If you don't have it in your heart, by faith, with thanksgiving. Preserve thy body and soul, Lord, in everlasting. Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is shed.
taught me the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for thee. Preserve thy body and soul, may live in everlasting life. Jimmy, take and eat and remember that Christ died for thee. We must part to do by faith with thanksgiving. Brought the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Edward, preserve thy body and soul in everlasting life. Take and eat bread and remember that Christ died for thee. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for thee. Ella, preserve thy body and soul and everlasting life. Come on, take and eat and remember that Christ died for you. Feel him in your heart and in thy faith. Jesus Christ given for thee.
Thank you.
Let us pray together the post-communion prayer found on page 365. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food and the sacrament of body and blood. Send us now into the world of peace and grant strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you forever. Amen. Please stand now as we sing our closing hymn, When Christ Was Lifted from the Earth. It's hymn 603.